I just got a simple message because that's the only ones I know how to preach. Amen. But I want to share an awesome story from the Bible. And I want to share with you a story that's an important story for every one of us here this morning. The title of the message today is, You Can Run, But You Can't Hide. You can run, but you can't hide. And this story concerns a fascinating man named Jonah, who lived about 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So that makes it how long ago? About 2,700 years ago, yeah. This man, Jonah, we would call him a preacher. He was a prophet, but that's the same thing, a preacher. So Jonah was a preacher, and he lived in this really small little country, this little tiny nation of Israel. And he devoted a lot of his time to encouraging his fellow Israelites to follow God by obeying the Ten Commandments, amen, and other instructions that Moses had given him, and or them. And one day God spoke to Jonah in his heart, and that's how God speaks to us today. He speaks to us through his word in our hearts, amen. He drops words in our heart, and God spoke to him in his heart, and this is what God said to Jonah. We've got it up on the screen. He says, God said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Nineveh, some of you probably never heard of Nineveh before. It was a city that was about 800 kilometres to the east of where Jonah was at that time. And he just didn't want to go to Nineveh. So Jonah disobeyed God and he went in the opposite direction. Instead of going east to Nineveh, he went west to nearby Joppa. Some of you have heard of Joppa before. Wasn't that far away from where he was. And Joppa was a city on the coast of Israel, on the Mediterranean. It had a seaport. It had a harbour. So Jonah found a ship at Joppa that was headed for a city called Tarshish. Tarshish was located right over in Spain, 4,000 kilometres away on the western side of the Mediterranean. So Jonah was trying to get as far away from Nineveh as he physically could. And so he bought a ticket, amen, and he went aboard. Clearly, this preacher was running away. He was doing a runner. Wouldn't it be terrible if the preacher did a runner today? Amen. Don't ask me if I feel like doing it sometimes. He was running away. In fact, the Bible says that this guy Jonah was trying to escape from the Lord because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Anyway, much to Jonah's relief, the ship finally set sail for this place called Tarshish. And Jonah thought that he had succeeded in running away from God. But ladies and gentlemen, you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. I just know there's somebody here today, more than one. You're trying to run from God, but you can't hide from God. God knows where you are. He knows what you're up to. He knows what you're into. He knows what you're doing. You can never hide from Almighty God. And the Bible says that God sent this powerful wind over the sea that caused a violent storm that threatened to break up the ship and break it apart. You know, sometimes, people don't like to hear this, but sometimes God may send a storm to get your attention because you're trying to run away from Him. This supernatural storm, some storms are supernatural. This supernatural storm threw these experienced sailors into a panic. My goodness, what's happening? And they all started to pray to their other gods. The fact that they were praying to other gods, the Bible tells us that's what they were doing, means that this crew were not Israelites. Because you see, the city of Joppa, like most ports, was a multicultural society. As ships from all over the known world would come to Joppa to trade there. So Jonah not only ran away from God, but he also deliberately had chosen a ship where the crew did not know God. Instead, they worshipped all these other sorts of gods and deities. Now, this crew, they were calling on those gods to help them stop this storm, save our lives. Oh my goodness, what is going to happen to us? Please stop the storm. But nothing was working. Nothing was going to stop the storm. The captain of the ship Eventually went down into the hold where he found Jonah sound asleep. Who knows that preachers like to sleep sometimes? Amen. He was sound asleep. So the captain woke him up and asked him this. He said this, Jonah, how can you sleep at a time like this? What's the matter with you, man? Get up. We're going to die. Pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. But the storm continued. So the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. He's responsible for this storm. You wouldn't want to be Jonah right then, hey? Yeah. Well, we know what happened. Then they asked him who he was and what he'd done. Firstly, he said, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land. And he told them that he was running away from the Lord. All of this information just terrified the poor crew. They're going, you're doing what? And they just didn't know what to do. They were panicking. They were wet. They wanted to go home. And so they asked Jonah what they should do to him to stop the storm. And then Jonah says, well, there's only one thing you could do. He says, you've got to pick me up, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm again. Wow, they didn't want to murder him. They didn't want to kill him. But in order to save their own lives, the crew eventually picked Jonah up and they threw him into the sea, the raging storm. But then the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power and they vowed to serve the Lord. Jonah, as he's heading for the water, no doubt thought, I'm going to drown. This is it. I'm finished. I'm going to be a dead preacher. I'm done. I'm going to drown. But you know, God had not abandoned him, because we always need to remember, you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. God actually knew that Jonah was in the water. And so Jonah, this is true, he sent a giant fish that opened its mouth and swallowed him. Traditions say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, like in that picture there. But a whale, I learned this at school, is a mammal, not a fish. It's about the only thing I learned at school, amen. So it couldn't have been a whale, like in the picture on your screen. And who knows what huge fish were lurking around in the Mediterranean 2,700 years ago. But we do know this, Jonah ended up in the smelly belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. From inside this giant fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. And Jonah said this, was his prayer. He wrote about it later. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. That's a good thing to do, everybody. And God answered me. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. My earnest prayer went out to you. Then he said this in his prayer, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all of God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. And God heard Jonah's prayer from inside the giant fish. You may be in the darkest moment in your life, but God hears you and God sees you and he is with you. You can run from God, but you can never hide from God. God then ordered this giant fish to vomit. And he vomited Jonah out onto the beach. It was terrible. So Jonah then stood up on the beach, squinting in the bright sun, covered in fish vomit. Don't run away from God. You might end up being covered in fish vomit. Amen, amen, yeah. He stood there and the Bible says, the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given to you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and he went to Nineveh. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, Nineveh was absolutely incredible. It was a huge city for an ancient city. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It's protective walls. It had this huge wall of protection around it, like most cities did in those days. Its protective wall was 6 meters high, which is huge. Actually, that's 3 meters high to the ceiling, so double that. That's how high the wall was. It was 10 meters thick, and the wall ran for 12 kilometers around this city. That's a fact. It took Jonah 3 days to journey from one side of Nineveh through to the other. And this was Jonah's message. And he said this, listen to me, everybody. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And that would have looked impossible because Nineveh was invincible. It hadn't been sacked or destroyed ever before. It looked invincible. He says, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And Jonah kept going from place to place, market to market, shouting this simple but terrifying message to the crowds, denouncing their wickedness. Because of your wickedness, 40 days' time, Nineveh will be destroyed. What a negative message. Oh, you couldn't find any encouragement in that, could you? But this is what happened. Incredibly and remarkably, the king heard the message. And so the king and the people of Nineveh believed what Jonah was saying. And they took his message to heart and they were convicted by what he said. They were convicted in here. They were convicted of this sin. They felt guilty for their sin. They felt shame for their sin. And then the king responded and he led the whole city into a time of repentance before Almighty God. And the king said this. He said, it was a command to everybody. He said, everyone in Nineveh, you must pray earnestly to God. And that wasn't to their own gods. That word is actually referring to the Hebrew God. Everyone must pray earnestly to God, Almighty God. And he said, everybody in Nineveh must turn from their evil ways and stop all of this violence. Please stop. And who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. That was the edict. And that's what the people did. They obeyed the king. Then the Bible says this. When the Lord saw what they had done and how they put a stop to their evil ways, God, the Lord, changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. God changed his mind. Ladies and gentlemen, mercy triumphed over judgment that day. The judgment did not come upon Nineveh, even though they deserved it. Of course they deserved it. These people who had become so depraved and far from God had avoided destruction by humbling themselves and turning from their evil ways. And God had mercy on them. That means if God can have mercy on such wicked people like them, then God can have mercy upon you today if you will humble yourself before God. This turn of events was just amazing. It was just an extraordinary response to Jonah's preaching. And so you would think that Jonah would just be thrilled and delighted by this positive outcome. Well, it was worth the trip to Nineveh. He preached only for 3 days, and everyone in the whole city, including the king, had humbled themselves and repented. So no one was destroyed. God was honored. And you'd say, what a wonderful result. Well done, Jonah. This outcome would now look good on his CV. He would be able to write a book about how to do evangelism in a foreign city and sell it at Koorong. You know, it was a great breakthrough. Everybody's a winner. But the Bible says Jonah wasn't like that. Jonah was not happy. Jonah was not happy at all. Instead, the Bible says that he was just really angry about the outcome. Clearly, Jonah was a mean preacher with a bad attitude. Thank God that I'm not a mean preacher with a bad attitude. He was mean. What was Jonah's problem? Man, what's going on with you? We know about the fish vomit, but really, haven't you gotten over that? What's going on with you? Jonah wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. That was the problem. He didn't want God to have mercy upon them. That was not part of the deal. He did not want them to have God to have mercy upon them. Jonah never went there to evangelize them. It never occurred to them that they would actually repent and be saved. He never saw that one coming. Nineveh, you see, was guilty of extreme wickednesses. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. In history, they rate civilizations according to how brutal they are. And the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh was part of that. They would be in the top three of the most brutal civilizations on the face of the earth in history. They were bad. When they would capture their enemies, they would often skin them alive. That's the kind of people they were. These people. They were guilty of extreme wickedness, and they were particularly evil, and they were extremely brutal people. Jonah's own nation, Israel, had been raided by these people too, and his own people had suffered at the hands of the evil Ninevites and Assyrians. Even the other nations, were appalled by the behavior of the Ninevites. They were crazy. They were wicked. As far as Jonah was concerned, there was nothing good in Nineveh and there was nothing worth saving in Nineveh. Let the place burn. And he was right. He was right. He was right. They were bad people, and that's why judgment was going to come upon them. And so Jonah, really, let's be honest, he hated them. He was a preacher that hated them. And that's why he ran in the other direction. He didn't want them to know. He didn't even want them to know that destruction was coming their way. He was just glad they were going to be destroyed. Whoopee, this is really a good thing. I only got to wait 40 days. This is going to be great. That was his attitude. When he preached, he didn't preach with compassion or concern. There was no tears in his eyes when he preached. There was no pleading with his audience, asking them to turn to God. None of that at all. He was just motivated by his fear of fish vomit. He just simply gave them the message that God had given him, announcing God's judgment against Nineveh because of its wickedness. You know, the interesting thing in this story, the most striking thing in this story, I think, is that no one suggested to the Ninevites that they should repent and turn from their wicked ways. Nobody told them they could do that. See, Jonah brought a message of condemnation. He did not bring a message of repentance. It was just condemnation, not repentance. Nobody told the Ninevites that they could repent. Jonah never told them to turn from their sins. He said, you're just going to be destroyed. He didn't say turn from your sins. He just told them they were going to be wiped out. Repentance was not part of the message as far as Jonah was concerned. And sadly, with some Christians today, repentance is not always part of the message. We just want to condemn people. We don't want to do that here at Real Life Church, amen? But these brutal, this is what's incredible about this story, these brutal, barbaric people, evil, wicked Ninevites, were cut to the heart by God's word to them from Jonah. And out of conviction and righteous fear, they chose to beg God for mercy, and they also chose to change their wicked ways. We're not going to be wicked. We're not going to be like those people. We're not going to be that people anymore. We're going to change. This is what we're going to do. God, have mercy upon us. We don't want to be wicked anymore. And they did that, not even knowing if God would have mercy upon them. It was a chance. They were convinced, this is our only chance. He might not have mercy. Maybe we've gone too far. God might not have mercy upon us, but at least we could try. This is our only chance to survive. We've got to beg for mercy. What a great attitude. And the Bible says this, that God responded to them, and it says this, and God responds to them because God does not despise a broken and contrite heart, no matter how bad you've been. Amen? God doesn't despise a broken and contrite heart. And God, who had seen their wickedness, because you can run but you can't hide, God had seen their wickedness, but God now saw their radical repentance. God saw their humbleness. God saw their willingness to change their evil ways. And God responded to them with mercy. Praise God. And the people we're baptizing today have received mercy. That's why we're baptizing them. God forgave them of their wickedness, extreme wickedness. Forgiveness was theirs, and judgment did not come upon Nineveh. And then when Jonah complained to God about this, Jonah actually complained to God about the mercy that he had shown Nineveh. What a hypocrite Jonah was. God had shown mercy to him and not let him drown in the water. He forgot about that. Now he's complaining about God's generosity in showing mercy to these people. And this is what God said. He said this, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? And ladies and gentlemen, that's a massive statement about the heart of Almighty God. And that's just how this tiny book of Jonah finishes it. Read it for yourself. Jonah is a story that shows that even the most wicked person will find mercy from God when they humbly repent of their sins and turn to God. So what do we learn? Just nearly finished. Just four quick lessons. What do we learn from Jonah? Number one, first we learn that you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. The Bible says this, that nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked, exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Remember that God saw the wickedness of Nineveh. God also saw Nineveh repenting, and he forgave them because he saw them. Nothing's hidden from God. And God saw Jonah running away. And God saw Jonah in the belly of the giant fish. And ladies and gentlemen, God sees you. You're not hidden from God. The world might consider you to be insignificant, perhaps. Maybe you're not a famous person. Maybe a lot of people don't know you. But you are not hidden from God because you are important to God. God sees everything, including you. Second lesson that we learn is this, God judges wickedness. The Bible says this, God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe this is another subject for another day, but just very quickly, wickedness has a tipping point. When it reaches a certain level of depravity, judgment comes. People who intentionally do wicked things without repentance may think they are getting away with their sin, but they are heading towards a tipping point. For the Bible says this, you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but there will be a tipping point and your sin will find you out. That is because there's a tipping point. The judge will judge. Nineveh had simply reached their tipping point. And it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So from Jonah, we can learn that you can run from God, but you can't hide. And we can also learn that God judges wickedness. The third thing that we learn is this, is that God will not bring judgment on those who humbly repent of their sins and turn to the Lord. Nineveh was at their tipping point of destruction, but when they humbled themselves before Almighty God and changed the way they were going, God unleashed his mercy and they were saved from destruction. Have you been saved from destruction? It's a great question to ask, isn't it? This is what the Bible says. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. There we go. God's not happy when a wicked person dies. Not at all. He says, I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn, 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 turn from your wickedness. God doesn't want anybody to die in their sins. The message is turn, turn, turn from your wickedness. And that could be applicable to people here today. Somebody here today. I don't know what's going on in your life. You know what's going on in your life. God does not want you to die in your wickedness. He says, turn, turn from your wickedness. Turn from your wickedness. Turn to the Lord. Behind God's mercy to you and to me stands the cross of Jesus Christ. God forgave Nineveh because he knew that one day Jesus was going to die for their sins. Jesus Christ has made it possible for our sins to be forgiven by Almighty God also. Finally, nearly finish, we learn from Jonah that God loves people. If God loved Nineveh, an ancient city of 120,000 people, then God must love Gosnells, the center of the universe. If you come from another suburb, welcome to the center of the universe. Amen. Hey, God loves Perth, or 2 million of us. God must love Sydney. Okay, that's pushing it a bit. Okay. No, he does. He does. God loves Melbourne. You know, and God loves your family. He really does. You might not love him, but he loves them. God loves you. God's concerned. We read that massive statement. God's concerned about anyone who is living in spiritual darkness. God loves the cities, but God loves the individual. God loves you. He cares for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Amen. So I finish with this question. Will you humble yourself today? I don't know everybody in this room. I know some of you, but I don't know where you're at. And it's your business, not mine. But I'm just asking you, will you humble yourself today and repent of your sins? Will you turn from the path you're on and surrender your life to Jesus Christ? To do that is the smartest thing you could ever do with your life. Will you let God have mercy on you? So that you, when you stand before God in the afterlife, you will be welcomed by him into eternity and not be judged and cast into everlasting death and hell. I urge you to repent and be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's just pray. Come on. We're going to have the baptism in just a moment. But I've very intentionally brought this message today. I felt the Lord just give this to me. It's on my heart. And, we take this very seriously when God's speaking to people. And our intention today is just to make sure that everybody goes home blessed and experience Jesus Christ. Our intention is never to embarrass anybody or anything like that. But, you know, we've got to be honest. Sometimes, you know, we need to be confronted about our sin before we reach that tipping point. Sometimes we need to be told the truth. And the truth is that without repentance, without turning to God, without placing your faith in Jesus who paid the price for your sins, there is just no way you'll ever get to heaven. Just no way. You might think, well, I'm not really that bad. The Bible says all have sinned. Everybody's done bad things. And that tipping point comes to everybody sooner or later. And so I just told you the truth today. And as you've come along to Real Life Church, maybe you've come to see family get baptized, friends be baptized, and we're just so grateful you're here. But this is your moment right now. Almighty God is knocking on the door of your heart because he loves you just like he loved Nineveh. He says, shouldn't I feel sorry for those people? Shouldn't I care for those people? And today, the Lord is looking at you and saying to his angels, shouldn't I care for that person? Shouldn't I feel sorry for them? This is their moment to repent. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you repent right now? Would you humble yourself before Almighty God and say, Almighty God, I acknowledge that I've done wicked things. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Please, please forgive me. I thank you that Jesus has made it possible for me to be forgiven. So I trust in Jesus. Please forgive me today. And if you pray that in your heart right now, heaven will visit you in this service. Here we are in a little place called Cosmos. And yet you can have a visitation of Almighty God right in your seat right now. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. So, Father, we just thank you right now that you're visiting people as they're opening hearts up to you. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're a good, good Father. Thank you that you care for all of us here today. And so right now, I just want to pray a prayer. And I said, would you humble yourself? And maybe this is part of your humbling right now. I'd like to just pray for people who are saying, yeah, I want to humble myself. I want to repent, turn to God. If that's you, as you're praying, you've got your eyes closed, But I'm going to open my eyes. And if that's you, just put your hand right up in the air. Hold it up there for about 2 seconds, then put it back down. God bless you, sir. God bless you, darling. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else today? Yeah, you can put your hand down now. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, sir. Down the back. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And he is. Anybody else? We're going to pray right now. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you, man. God bless you. Anybody else? You know, I just love it when people have soft hearts. Absolutely. Man, that's a good thing. That's good. Okay, we're going to pray right now. I'm going to pray in 5 seconds. Can I pray for you? Anybody else today in Jesus' name? Father, it's just a whole bunch. Yeah, God bless you, darling. Caught you just as I was starting to pray. Father, there's a whole bunch of people here today, Lord, repenting of their sins. And Lord, we can run from you, but we can't hide. And Lord, you see, you just saw people putting their hands up. You can hear what's going on inside people's heads right now as they're calling upon your name. You see it all. And Lord, Father, we just pray, just as you forgave Nineveh and cleansed them from terrible things, we just pray forgiveness will visit those who've just raised their hand right now. Whatever they've been into, whatever they've done, really bad things or things that aren't so bad but still sin, Lord, we pray you'll wash it all away. Come on, everybody say, Lord, wash it all away. Come on, let's say it again. Come on, Lord, wash it all away. Yeah, Father, just wash it away. And Lord, we know we can pray this because Jesus died on the cross for it all to be washed away. And so we pray for those who've done wicked things, wash it all away. We just pray today they'll have a new beginning, a new start to life. We pray they'll never be the same again. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, as they change their ways and walk with you, that, Lord, you'll be with them. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll enter into their lives as they follow you. And we pray today, Lord, they will be born again, belonging to Jesus Christ, not belonging to this sin, not belonging to the world, not belonging to the devil. Today, those who raise their hands are choosing to humble themselves, repent, change their ways, and follow Jesus Christ. We pray the blessing of God upon those who have responded to you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, and they shouted. But they shouted louder than that.